The scripture reading tonight is Matthew 3, verse 13 through Matthew 4, verse 11. We're especially going to be looking at the temptations for the next few weeks as a Lent series. To understand the background a little bit of these temptations, Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17 helps a bit. So let's read from beginning at Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Thus far we read the Word of God tonight. The text that we will look at closely is verses 1 and 11. The first verse and the 11th verse of chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Verse 11, Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The season of Lent is a time of year when we especially remember Christ's suffering and death. The season of Lent is the few Sundays that come right before Good Friday and Easter. Roman Catholics remember this season a little bit different than what we do. Roman Catholics remember Christ's suffering and death during the season of Lent by putting ash on their foreheads, or by giving up a certain activity that they like to do. Now, those things in themselves are not wrong, but those activities sometimes become legalistic. We remember Christ's suffering and death differently. The way that we remember his suffering and death, especially at this time of the year, is usually by listening to sermons that talk about his suffering and death and meditating upon those sermons. For the next few weeks, that's what we are going to do. We're going to hear sermons that focus on Christ's suffering. That's a wonderful thing to do, because when we focus on that, we really have the truth of the gospel right before us. By God's grace, in these next few weeks, we will see that Christ came here and suffered terrible reproach, terrible difficulties. He did all of that for us and His love for us. The specific part of Christ's suffering that we are going to focus on are the temptations that He faced. We are going to see that these temptations were indeed a great part of His suffering. And in looking at these temptations and Christ's response to them, we are going to see many wonderful truths of the gospel. Today, we're going to start by looking broadly at these temptations. We're not going to get into any of the individual ones. We'll look broadly at the fact that Christ actually was tempted to sin. We're going to see why God led Him into the wilderness to be tempted to sin. So let's look at this text under the theme, Our Savior Tempted. Our Savior Tempted. First, the fact. Second, God's purpose. It's a little bit different than the bulletin. There were some changes on how to, in my mind, and how to organize this material. Our Savior Tempted. First, the fact. Second, God's purpose. First, the fact. The devil tempted Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, what does it mean to tempt? To tempt someone is to try to make sin look good and the good look bad. To tempt is to try to make someone sin by making sin look good and the good look bad. When tempting, what someone tries to do when they tempt you is they try to make disobedience really look like the good way, the pleasant way. And they try to make the good way look unpleasant. And we understand that about temptation because we go through it ourselves and we read about it in the Bible. The most famous temptation is the temptation that, or besides this, is the temptation that Eve faced in the Garden of Eden and that Adam faced. Eve was tempted by the devil in the Garden of Eden to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was forbidden, but the devil tempted her to do that. The devil made it look good to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told her, if you eat of it, you will be like God. The devil made it look foolish, made it look bad not to eat of it. He made the good look bad and the bad look good. And you know what happened there. Eve fell. We know what temptation is like too. Kids, you understand that. Sometimes you might do something that you weren't supposed to do. You go home, your parents ask you what you were up to. And the devil right away tempts you to lie. He makes it look good to tell the lie. Then you won't get in trouble. He makes it look bad to tell the truth. Then you will get in trouble. The devil tempts. He makes the good look bad and the bad look good. Understand temptation. We need to understand that Jesus was tempted by the devil. God did not tempt Jesus. God does not tempt anyone to sin. In James 1, verse 13, we read this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God is holy. God is totally set apart from sin. He utterly despises it. God is not the author of temptation. The devil tempts. In Matthew 4, verse 1, we read that. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil, his very name shows us that he's one who tempts. His very name, devil, means liar. That's why that name is used in Matthew 4, verse 1. His name, devil, means liar. He lied to Jesus by acting like disobeying God's will for him would actually be the good way for him. He lied by making it seem like God's way for him was the bad way. The timing of these temptations help us understand why the devil tempted Jesus. These temptations came right after Jesus was baptized. In Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17, we read that Jesus was baptized. Then in Matthew 4, verse 1, we read the conjunction word, then. Jesus was baptized, then he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. And that conjunction indicates that the devil tempted Jesus right after he was baptized. We understand why. Know that at Jesus' baptism, God had declared, or Jesus had declared, that he was going to fulfill all righteousness. We read that in Matthew 3, verse 15. Jesus says, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." To fulfill all righteousness means that he was going to go perform all righteousness for God's people. He was going to go perform perfectly the commands of the law. He's going to obey God all the way to the cross, pay for the sins of God's people, and his people then would be righteous before God. He was set now on that track to fulfill all righteousness for his people. He had declared that. The devil heard it. The devil knew about it. Also at baptism, God had declared that Jesus was his beloved Son. Verses 16 and 17. "Lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God had made it known publicly that Jesus was his Son, the Savior of his people. God had even equipped him with the Holy Spirit so that he would be strengthened now to go on this mission of gaining salvation for God's people. Jesus was equipped with the full measure of the Holy Spirit. The devil knew these things. Jesus was very clearly the one who was now going to go gain salvation for God's people. Now, the devil wanted to stop that. The devil, he wanted to keep Jesus from fulfilling all righteousness. He wanted to keep Jesus from saving his people. The devil does not want anyone to be saved from sin. The devil does not want the righteousness of Jesus Christ to be credited to his people. He doesn't want that. He wanted to make Jesus sin. If he could make Jesus sin, then Jesus would not be able to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus could not gain salvation for God's people. You know that if he sinned, then we could not be righteous before God. His righteousness would never be credited to our accounts. And you also know what happens if we're guilty before God then. If Christ cannot fulfill all righteousness for us, and we are guilty before God, we remain under the power of the devil, and we will go to hell forever, being ruled by him. And that's what the devil wants. So knowing Jesus' statement that he had come to fulfill all righteousness, the devil wants to tempt him to sin. And also the devil wanted to bring the Son of God to sin, for then he would show himself to be more powerful than God. At his baptism, that God had declared that Jesus was his beloved Son. If the devil could bring God's beloved Son to sin and not be able to fulfill his mission of bringing salvation to us, then the devil would show himself to be more powerful than God. He would have made God fail. That's what he wanted. He wants to be more powerful than God and known as such. That's why the devil tempted Jesus. He wanted to keep Jesus from fulfilling all righteousness and saving his people. He wanted to bring Jesus to fail at his mission of fulfilling all righteousness, for then he would show that he was more powerful than God. And that's what he wanted. Now, Jesus, he did not sin when faced with these temptations. He could not sin. But understand that he really was tempted. He did not sin, he could not sin, but he really was tempted. Jesus did not sin when tempted by the devil. That's clear in the passage that we read, but also Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 speaks of Jesus Christ and that he was sinless. We read there, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus was tempted, but he never even had the desire to go the wrong way. Never had the desire to follow the way the devil presented to him. There was not even one bit of his inner being that ever said, "Oh, that would be really, really nice. That would even be fun." No, he was fulfilling all righteousness as he said he would do. He did not sin. Jesus did not sin, but understand that he could not even sin. Jesus is very God, so he could not sin. The fact that he is very God, it was declared at his baptism. In Matthew 3, verse 17, God had said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But even in Matthew 4, the devil even says that Jesus is God's Son. He even admits that. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, the devil says, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." That's an if-then statement there in verse 3. And if-then statements in the original language, they have more meaning than they do in the English. And this particular if-then statement can be understood this way. "Since you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." This is a reality. You are the Son of God. It's been declared. Now, turn these stones into bread. The very grammar of the text indicates that the devil even saw this as a reality. Jesus did take upon himself our flesh, but he is the very Son of God. And the very Son of God could not be disobedient to the Father. So Jesus is very God. He could not disobey. But also understand that while Jesus did take upon himself our flesh, he had a sinless human nature. Jesus had a sinless human nature. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We confess that tonight in the Apostles' Creed. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit protected his human nature from being polluted by Mary, his mother's human nature. Kept it from being polluted. Jesus was sinless. He could not sin. Jesus did not sin. He could not sin. But now this, he really was tempted. But at this point, questions arise. If he did not sin, he could not even sin. How could he really be tempted? And some have denied that Jesus was really tempted to sin. That's something that you'll read about in different commentaries even. But we have to go with what the Scriptures say. In Hebrews 4, verse 15 again, Hebrews 4, verse 15 says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So Hebrews 4, verse 15 is clear. He really was tempted to sin. He really faced temptation as one who had a human nature, a real human nature. That's the key to understanding this. You have to see that he had a real human nature. He took not on him the form of angels, or the nature of angels, but the nature of man. Everything about his nature was really human. He had a body, he had a soul, he had real human emotions, he had human relationships. He was a real man. Because he took upon him the nature of a man, he could be tempted. Because he was a real man, he could suffer. He knew, even suffering already, and he knew the suffering that was to come upon him. He knew about that. And he knew the pain of suffering. And he knew that he would have to suffer first if he was going to sit at God's right hand and rule all things. God had said that he would rule all things at his right hand after he performed this mission of saving God's people. God had told him that. He knew that. But he knew that he'd have to suffer first. And being a very real man, he knew how much pain that was. The devil came to him then with that temptation. Really, the essence of all his temptations were, just don't suffer. You don't have to. You don't have to suffer to be a great king. Just bow to me, and you can be a great king overall. Jesus could be tempted, and he was tempted, because he had a real human nature. He could and did experience suffering. And the devil tempted him to go past that, to bypass it. So the devil tempted Jesus. He tried to make the good way look bad and the bad way look good. Jesus did not sin. He could not sin, but he really was tempted. It was a real temptation. But now God's purpose in this. What's the purpose of this whole event? Know that God did have a purpose for these temptations. He did. And the fact that he had a purpose comes out in verse 1 of our text. Matthew 4, verse 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Notice those words. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. God was entirely in control of this. The Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted. The devil was not in control. The devil, oh yes, he had a purpose. He had a scheme. He had a plan. We heard about that. He wanted to keep Jesus from fulfilling all righteousness. He wanted to somehow make himself more powerful than God. That was his scheme, his plan. But in all of this, the devil was not leading Jesus into temptation against God's will. God was sovereign over these temptations. Again, God's not the author of temptation. God's holy. But God is sovereign over temptation. He led Jesus into the wilderness. Now that's important. At this point, let's see a short application to ourselves. It's important for us to remember this in connection to the temptations we face. That God is sovereign over the temptations that we face. We have never faced a temptation that was outside of God's control. Not one. The devil certainly has a purpose and a plan in tempting us. What the devil wants to do is he wants to slowly bring us into a certain sin, make us addicted to it, bring us to continue on in it and eventually leave the church and forsake the faith. That's what he wants. And it's an elaborate scheme. And as we heard about a few weeks ago with Lord's Day 52, the devil sometimes goes very slow at that. But he has a plan. And he's very, very powerful. But he's not sovereign. Our sovereign God is in control of temptation. He was in control of the temptations Christ faced. He's in control of the temptations we face too. And how comforting that is. Think about that. That our Father who loves us, His blood-bought children in Jesus Christ, He's in control of the temptations we face. And as our Father who loves us, He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can endure. And He always gives to us an escape. He always will provide a way of escape. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. A well-known passage, but let's read it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Temptations that we face are a gigantic struggle, but our Father will provide a way out. And also know this, that even when we do sin, God brings us back to Himself. He's in control of the whole thing. Oh, it's misery to fall into sin, but God uses that to strengthen us as His people, to bring us to see the misery, the foolishness of sin. He's in control of the whole thing. He brings us out of it to serve Him better. That's our God. That's great grace. Now, back to the temptations that Jesus was facing. Since God sovereignly led Jesus into temptation, there must have been a purpose. There must have been a reason. God doesn't do anything randomly. Ephesians 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1, verse 11 speaks of this truth, that God has a plan and has a purpose for all things. We read there, "In whom, that is in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." We read there, God made a plan. Let's read there of His counsel. God made a plan before the world began, and He makes everything work according to that plan. And there's a purpose in that plan. A great purpose. God is making absolutely everything work for the glory of His name and the good of His people. Scripture is clear on that. In Romans 11, verse 36, we read that God is truly making everything work for the glory of His name. Wonderful verse. Romans 11, verse 36 says, "For of Him, that is of God, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever." And in connection with making all things work for His glory, God also makes everything work for our good. What immediately comes to mind is Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God makes all things work for His glory. And in doing that, He's also making everything work for the good of His church, the church He loves, for Jesus' sake. So, God sovereignly led Jesus into temptation, and thus there must have been a purpose for that. God led Jesus into temptation for the glory of His name and for the good of His people. God led Jesus into temptation for the glory of His name and the good of His people. Now we're going to look at several things that show that. Several specific things that show this really was for our good. This event that happened so long ago, this event that was great suffering for Jesus Christ, it was all for our good and for the glory of God's name. We're going to see several things that show that now. We're going to see the gospel. In the first place, God led Jesus into temptation so that He would suffer for our sins and save us. God led Jesus into temptation so that He would suffer for our sins and save us. Jesus did suffer while being tempted. That's a fact. Hebrews 2, verse 18. Hebrews 2, verse 18. A very well-known passage about temptation. We read there, "In that He Himself suffered, that is, in that Christ Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." Verse 18, Christ Himself hath suffered, being tempted. In temptation, Jesus was suffering God's wrath for our sins. Isaiah 53 shows that Jesus Christ did not just suffer God's wrath when he was on the cross. He did. He suffered the fullness of God's wrath during those 3 hours of darkness. But Jesus suffered the wrath of God for our sins throughout his entire life. That does come out in Isaiah 53. I'm going to read a couple verses from there so that we can see that's true. It's very important for this point. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5, the beginning of 5. We read there, "He is despised," that is the Christ to come, the Messiah, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." He suffered for our sins, and he suffered for our sins his whole life long as he faced some of that mockery that Isaiah 53 is speaking of, and you know about that. He was mocked throughout his whole life. But his suffering for our sins included being tempted by the devil during his life. Hebrews 2 verse 18 says, "In that he himself hath suffered being tempted." To understand how difficult his suffering was, consider these things that he experienced as one who had our sins upon himself, as one who was bearing our transgressions. Consider these things that came upon him. He was tempted for 40 days. For 40 days. Now often we just think about the three temptations that he faced, but the parallel passages to Matthew chapter 4 indicate that he was tempted for 40 days again and again. Mark chapter 1 verse 13 is one of the parallel passages to Matthew chapter 4. And Mark chapter 1 says this, "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." In the original language, that word tempted there, which says he was tempted of Satan, that word tempted is a verb, a present verb, indicating continuous action. That's the way it is, at least in the original. It's in the present tense, indicating continuous action. So for 40 days, think about that, for 40 days, the devil tried and tried and tried to get Jesus to abandon God's way for him. The devil kept coming after Jesus with this idea that he did not have to suffer to be the exalted king. He kept coming after Jesus with this idea that there's an easier way to have glory as a king. It's really the essence of all the temptations. The devil was saying that Jesus could be a king simply by following him. And these were horrible temptations. These temptations for these 40 days long, they were actually far worse than any temptations that we ever face. You might think, why? They were worse than any temptations that we ever face because Jesus never gave in to the devil. So the devil kept going harder and harder after him. You see, when we are tempted, we often give in. It doesn't take so much for us simply to give in. The devil doesn't have to work very hard to get us to give in. But Jesus kept resisting, so the devil kept going after him with more temptations, more intense, more intense, more intense, and there was suffering. Suffering as he faced these difficult temptations for 40 days. And understand these temptations were difficult because Jesus was in the wilderness. That's what verse 1 says. He was in the wilderness. The wilderness was the lonely Judean desert. It was far away from Jesus' family, his church family, or those who he went to the synagogue with. It was far away from his family, his friends, everyone. And being there by himself and facing the devil, Jesus suffered. Remember, he was a real man. He had real relationships with people, with his family, with his friends, with his church family. And being secluded from them and right with the devil, there with the devil, the crafty devil, for 40 days, that was suffering. Jesus went through so much suffering that the angels even came and ministered to him after he was done with these temptations. That comes out in Matthew 4, verse 11. That's why that's included in our text. It shows us how great the suffering was that Jesus went through. Verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." They ministered unto him. They served him. He had suffered greatly, and now they came to him and they encouraged him. They encouraged him to continue on that way of suffering all the way to the cross. They encouraged him. But that shows, those angels came to him, shows he went through a tremendous amount of suffering. Now, Jesus was led into temptation so that he might suffer for our sins and save us. That's the gospel. You think about it tonight. We are sinners. We are sinners. For our sins, we deserve to be stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We deserve to suffer under God's wrath now and forever. But in Matthew 4, we see the good news of the gospel. What we see here is really the central purpose of God being accomplished. The central purpose of God was announced in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The mother promise. A passage you know well, but we will read. Jesus there said, "I will put enmity between thee," that is Satan, "I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That is, thou, Satan, shalt bruise Christ's heel. In Matthew 4, that is what's happening. Christ is being bruised for our iniquities. He is suffering for you and for me there and being tempted and facing the devil. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into temptation for our good then. Led Jesus into temptation so that he might be bruised for our iniquities, for our salvation. What a wonderful truth that is. That's the gospel. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to suffer for you and for me. Second specific thing, specific reason that Jesus was led into temptation was so that he might continue his work of fulfilling all righteousness for us. Jesus was led into temptation so that he might continue his work of fulfilling all righteousness for us. Remember, when Jesus said that he would fulfill all righteousness, he was saying that he would perform all righteousness for us and would cover our sins. He would perfectly obey God. He would perfectly obey God while he suffered for all of our sins. And in this way, he would fulfill all righteousness for us so that we would be right before God. And he was led into temptation so that he might continue to do this work of fulfilling all righteousness. We see that when he was tempted, he never fell. He perfectly obeyed God. When he was tempted, we see that he was suffering. He was suffering, but the whole time he was perfectly obeying God. He was going down God's path that would bring him all the way to Calvary. So in these temptations, he was doing the work of performing all righteousness for us. Wonderful. Wonderful truth. Jesus was led into temptation for our salvation. In the third place, Jesus was tempted so that he might help us in salvation, so that he might help us in temptation. He was tempted so that he might help us when we are tempted. That's wonderful truth too. Let's see that more clearly. In Hebrews 2, verse 18, you remember that verse. It said, "For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is also able to succor them that are tempted. To succor. That just means to help. Jesus was tempted so that he might be able to help us who are tempted. We are in danger of sinning as those who are tempted to sin every day. The devil tempts us, every one of us, every single day. He seeks to make something good look bad and wants to make the bad look good. And in doing those temptations, he wants to destroy us. His name is not only the devil, liar, but his name is also Satan. That means adversary. He wants to destroy. He wants to bring us into sin, to bring us to continue in that sin, to forsake the faith. He does that in so many different ways. Often he does to us the similar temptations to the ones that he brought to Jesus. He wants to bring us away from any suffering. He wants to make that way of suffering for Christ's sake, for the sake of the gospel, he wants to make that look bad. Maybe some friends or co-workers want to do something that you should not do. And the devil, what he does in those situations is he makes it look good to join them. To join them and then not have to suffer ridicule or mockery or some teasing because you said no. He makes it look good to join them. What his intention in that is for to have you join them once, then have you join them a few more times until you're joining them all the time. And you're leaving the communion of the saints to be with these unbelievers and eventually not going to church to be with those unbelievers in their activities on Sunday. That's what he wants. He's a destroyer. He wants to be our destroyer. He tempts the older single man to say yes to a date to an unbeliever rather than say no and continue to feel lonely in their life if that's what they are feeling. That's what he attacks. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get you into a relationship and bring you away from the faith. He tempts in so many ways. Thousands of ways. He tempts us to lie. He tempts us to gossip. He tempts us to cheat. Tempts us to say things or type things in an unloving manner. He wants us to become stuck in those things. And he's very, very powerful. We sometimes do fall into temptation. That's horrible. After we say a wrong word or do a wrong thing, we right away, we think, how could I do that again? I fell again. And then we fall again a few days later and we begin to wonder, how can I ever put this away? I've fallen into this again and again and again. Hebrews 2 verse 18. He suffered being tempted. He is also able to succor us then, help us who are tempted. He can bring help better than anyone else. When you face a difficult challenge in anything, you want to have someone help you who's been through it. And who's not only been through that challenge, but they've conquered it. That's especially true when it comes to battling sin. And the great help comes from the Son of God who took upon himself our flesh. He was tempted. He knows what it's like. He's been through it. But he has conquered it. He never fell in temptation. He knows then exactly what we need in temptation. He knows what it takes. He knows what we need. He can and he does then provide what we need as our Savior. He empowers us to turn even from the mightiest temptation. He does, and we've experienced that. But we might right away ask, why have I fallen still so many times? If he really is able to help and willing to help us, his people, why have I fallen so many times? We have to understand that you still have a sinful nature. You still have a sinful nature, and full deliverance will not come until Jesus brings us to heaven. But even when you fall, know that He picks you up. He brings you back. He works in you more and more to fight. He leads you out of that sin, brings you to repentance. Be sure that Christ your Savior is working in you. Be sure that He will work in you more and more so that you do fight and overcome temptation. He's our Savior. He's died for us. He's overcome temptation. He's able. He's willing to help. And how He strengthens us is in the way of prayer. He's a sympathetic Savior. He knows what we are going through. If He was not tempted, He would not know what we are going through, but He was. He was tempted. He does understand. So in times of temptation, look to Him for strength. So often we don't. So often we do think, oh, I'll be fine. We don't even pray about it. We don't even look to God for strength. We don't look to our Savior. Let's not do that. Christ knows what it takes. He knows what we need. Look to Him for strength. When you think that no one understands, look to Him. He does. He knows. Depend upon Him. So again, we are seeing specific reasons that God led Jesus into temptation. Ultimately, He led Jesus into temptation for our good and for the glory of His name. But we've seen more specifically that He led Jesus into temptation so that He might suffer for our sins and save us. He led Jesus into temptation so that He might fulfill all righteousness. He led Jesus into temptation so that He might be able to help us who are tempted and face horrible temptation. Now this, in the last place, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into temptation so that He might show us that Christ has the victory over Satan. This history, these temptations, serve to His glory in this way and to our comfort. We see very clearly here that Christ has the victory over Satan. In Matthew 4, we read that Jesus rejected Satan's efforts to bring him away from God's path. We read in verse 11, Satan departed. Jesus had the victory there. And this victory over Satan in these temptations, it's really representative of Christ's whole ministry. He defeated the devil every time the devil came after Him. Every time that the devil tried to bring Jesus away from God's path, Jesus defeated him. And He would defeat the devil all the way to the cross. He paid for all of our sins there. Jesus paid for all of our sins there, and thus the devil no longer has power over us. He defeated the devil at the cross. The devil, if we were still guilty, he would have power over us. We would be guilty sinners in God's sight, so we would still be under Satan's rule. But Jesus defeated the devil. He paid for all of our sins so that we are no longer guilty sinners in God's sight. We are righteous. And thus the devil no longer has any right to rule over us, and he doesn't. He does not have the power over us. We belong to Christ. Christ's victory over the devil here in these temptations is representative of that wonderful truth that Christ has the victory over the devil and He now rules us. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus was bruised. He was tempted. He suffered. But He crushed the head of Satan. He overcame temptation and He obeyed the will of God all the way to the cross. And He rose again and crushed Satan's head. The devil doesn't have the power. He can't destroy us. Oh, he fights. He seeks to bring us and our children down into sin. He seeks to bring us there and keep us there. He seeks to bring us away from the church. But he doesn't have the power over us. Christ has the victory over the devil. We see that here in Matthew 4. In conclusion, understand that we have certainly seen God's wisdom tonight. We have seen God's wisdom in leading Jesus into temptation. We've seen how these temptations really serve to our good, to the glory of God's name. Amazing. God led Jesus into temptation so that he might suffer for our salvation, fulfill all righteousness, and help us in temptation. The history of these temptations even serve to our comfort. For here we see that the devil does not have the victory over Jesus. Jesus has the victory over him. And Jesus has the power now over us. And we see that all of this serves in the end to God's glory. The church that is saved through the suffering of Christ praises God. The church that is given help in temptation to overcome and to serve God, that church praises God. What wisdom of God. All this in the end, these temptations serve to the glory of His name and the good of His church. What a God we have. How gracious He is to us. What a Savior we have who came here and suffered for you and for me. Praise be to our God now and forever. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, O Lord, Thou art a great God. Thou art a wise God who led Jesus into temptation and we see from that Thou truly art a gracious God. For there Christ was suffering for our sins, for our salvation. What a merciful God Thou art, Lord. For that salvation that we've seen tonight, that we've tasted tonight, may we give Thee thanks now in this week. May we give Thee praise. May we put away all temptation and live to the glory of Thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.